I am fantasy and paranormal romance author Leslie Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, May 7th, 2023, and this is episode 216 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So I'm recording in a new spot in my home. I'm testing this out as a new place to record videos. And yeah, let me know in the comments what you think about the new set. It's still a work in progress, so it will grow and change as I figure things out. But this week's best thing is that I started plotting Brutal Fortress, the third book in the Bliss War series. And that's because I moved my schedule around. There's some things that I'm going to talk about at some point in the future. I don't feel like I have digested them enough to talk about right now, but as to the reason why I moved my schedule around. But I'm really excited about Brutal Fortress, and I want to tell you about the first week of plotting and how I am using ChatGPT in my plotting process, trying to find ways that I feel comfortable with having it as an author assistant, and pros and cons, ups and downs of that process. Also, if you are listening to this in real time, Savage City is on sale for 99 cents. The ebook is. The sale runs through Monday, May 8th. In most places, it might be extended in some places. It depends. Like a lot of the online retailers I can schedule. Amazon, I can't. So I might have it go for a few extra days on Amazon, but we will see. And that is just to celebrate the launch of Beastly Kingdom Book 2 in Bliss Wars, which came out last week. So, writing update. Yes, I have been plotting Brutal Fortress. I started on Monday. I've been trying to catalog everything so that I know exactly what steps I took. I want to do a plotting course. And so I figured if I started a new book, it's a perfect time to really interrogate and investigate my process. And I'm going to try to share it with you now. I'm going to mention a lot of worksheets and resources because I use a lot of them. And some of them are available right now on my website at lpenelope.com/resources. So the first thing I do when I'm ready to dig into a brand new story, whether it's a short story, novella, or novel, is I get my folders set up on my computer and the various files that I need. So I need a Scrivener file. I didn't have one before. I had to create that. I use a template that I created for Scrivener. Since this is book three in a series, I have a separate story Bible file for Scrivener, and the document, the manuscript file, is different. If it's just going to be a standalone or I'm creating something new, then I would create a brand new story Bible. I also set up my writing calendar for the month. So I track my daily writing in just a calendar that's a Google sheet. And I downloaded this from somewhere so I can put that in the show notes. I just have a big spreadsheet with every month of the year. And so I put columns on every month if I'm working on multiple projects. And I just kind of give an overview every day of what I did. So for the next couple of weeks, it will be plotting. But this helps me for scheduling for the future so that I know how long a book takes to write so that I can create more accurate schedules in the future. And I know how long it takes to plot, how long I spent first drafting. And then when I get into revision, I actually write down what chapter did I revise that day on the calendar for every day. I put an item that's a daily repeating item in my Todoist planning app and for log and writing calendar, because sometimes I forget. And then I'm like, what did I do last week? So if every day at the end of my writing session, I log it. I also created a new folder on my hard drive for this project. And it's just a folder called Brutal Fortress in my writing folder, which keeps all of my books. I did add this folder to my favorites in my Finder. So on the Mac, so whenever I open up the Finder window, I have all of the folders that I use a lot on the left, and those are the favorites. So I had to add this one. And then I created my story structure planner spreadsheet. So I have a generic one. I copy it every time I have a new book or a new story, and I put it in the folder, give it the new name. And this is my multi-tab spreadsheet of all these different worksheets that I use. I also started a story seed workbook. So this is part of the world building course, but I actually broke it out into its own little mini course. So if you're interested in taking a look at the Story Seed workbook and mini course, I will put a link to that in the show notes. It's $27 right now, and that gets you a fillable PDF workbook and my explainer video, which is a piece of the first module of the Imaginary World Building, Creating Fictional Worlds for Writers course, which has the whole process in there of world building. But world building and plotting you know, character development. They all kind of go hand in hand. So I tend to do a lot of the same steps, you know, so thinking about a plotting course, it would have the first couple modules would probably be the same and are very, very similar. So Story Seed is basically about taking the initial idea that I have for this book and just teasing it out, recording what was my inspiration, what was the spark, because people ask you that a lot later on. And even though this is book three in the series, I've been itching to write this since book one. Like, I've had this on my mind for a really long time. It also goes through questions like, you know, the genre of the book, the ideal reader, the vision statement, things that will help you later on down the line when times are tough and I get stuck. I know I get stuck in every book, and I do. I go back to these questions that I've answered, these worksheets that I fill out, and asking myself, why did I start writing the story in the first place? What was important to me about it? What is this vision statement? What is the love list? What do I love about the story? All of those things might not make it in the final one. And a lot of times I change my mind, you know, like that original spark, that inspiration is going to change most of the time. But even when it changes, there's some core there that's like why I'm interested in this particular story, even if I don't know exactly what that story is going to be. And that's what the Story Seed workbook dives into. So because it's my process and I use it all the time, I had made this workbook for the course and, you know, I'm selling it on its own now because I use it every time. The next step is for me to review what I know about the story. So this is book three, like I keep saying. And I have a few notes here and there. I've already had the cover done, so I had to make a cover brief where I created just a really rough summary of the outline of the book. It was a couple paragraphs, and it had the core of what has to happen for the things I've set up in books one and two to make sense. But also, there are a lot of unanswered questions. And yeah, so I just brain dumped in a text file everything that could happen. And all of the threads that I have opened in the first two books. I tend to open threads and not know exactly how I'm going to close them. And I want this to be a trilogy. I want book three to be an ending. You know, it depends on sales, whether I continue with the series, like how well it sells, how well it does. But for now, this is going to be three books. And so I want to close as many threads as possible, give people a really satisfying conclusion, the people who have been there for the whole journey. And so I just had to know, what have I opened up that I really need to follow up on? After I did this, and this is all still day one. This is May 1st. This is my list of what I did on May 1st. I started looking at the structure. I always start with structure. That's why I have this story structure planner spreadsheet with all these tabs in it. And I usually start with Save the Cat. Now, on day one, I had very little idea of what was happening. I couldn't get through even the setup, you know, the first step of the structure. So that's why this list is so long, because a lot of it is me trying a worksheet, realizing I don't know enough to fill out this worksheet. That means I need to go to another worksheet to figure out the things I need to know for this worksheet. Worksheet two, I might fill out one thing. I don't know enough. I go to worksheet three. It's round robin process. So I don't know if a plotting course is going to happen or not, because I'm still trying to figure out how I can explain this coherently to other people. But this is my attempt. So after the brain dump, I looked at Save the Cat. Wasn't working. I couldn't figure out Save the Cat until I knew my heroine's character arc. So the main character, the heroine of this book is Selena. She is our lost princess. She has been missing since book one. From book three, we find out where she went and what's happened to her. But like I said, I couldn't figure out the plot until I knew more about the character arc, because they said they go hand in hand so much. So I turned to the character GMC, Goal Motivation Conflict, workbook or worksheet in the spreadsheet. It's one tab. And I tried to do that. And then I went from there to a different plotting system, which is the 7-point story structure from Dan Wells, because when Save the Cat doesn't work, sometimes that one does. I filled out a couple of points in there, but I still didn't know. So it was a process of going back and forth between character and plot, and also just brainstorming, continuing to brain dump the ideas that I have. I like to keep those in a text file just because I don't have to worry about formatting. I can get to it quickly. It opens faster than even a Word document or Scrivener. Scrivener feels like it should be for more finalized decisions, as opposed to me just dumping out the contents of my brain, figuring things out. I work things out either on paper or just in a plain text file. It just works for me better than trying to have something that Word, in Microsoft Word, I feel like it needs to be formatted and nice. This is not formatted or nice. And then I discovered something that I'd written early on about this book. In the story Bible, I think I do have an outline, like a series outline document in the story Bible, Scrivener file. It was a very like one or two sentences for what I thought this book would be. And I found that because I'd forgotten I'd written it. And I was like, oh, okay. That gave me another idea. And it gave me an idea for the end that I wasn't sure about. So that was everything I did on the first day. On day two, my good friend, Inez Johnson, who is a romance writer extraordinaire, and is always asked after me when I brainstorm things with her and I talk to her about my stories. And she's always like, but where's the romance? I'm like, oh, no, they're going to fall in love too, but they're doing this, this, and this. And so I was talking to her about the story and she was like, why don't you start with the romance this time? And I was like, I could try that. You know, that's something different. I haven't done that before. Why not? Let's go for it. So I pulled out another worksheet, which is based on the Romancing the Beat, very short book, seminal, required for all romance writers. And it just gives you the different romance beats. So I started those beats and I got stuck pretty early on. And then I realized I needed to know more about the Revokers, who in this story are these monsters. They're sort of reanimated corpses that become monsters, and then they're very destructive and they attack people. And I needed to also know more about the hero, whose name at this point was different than the name that he becomes. I was calling him a different name. I realized later that his name had to change. So I needed to know, you know, what these antagonists wanted, how they worked, the backstory that world building comes in, because I haven't described them much. I mean, I know we know they're a threat. We know what they look like. We don't know where they come from or how they originated. And this book, you're going to get a lot more about the origin of these creatures. But I also needed to know my hero more. The other thing I realized I needed was connections between these world building items. If I'm ending this trilogy here, I don't want to introduce a bunch of new concepts to solve my problems. I really want to mine the existing world building details, the magic system, all of that for the solutions to my problems. So I needed connections between these things. And that was the first time I went to ChatGPT. So in this version of shifters, there's two different kinds. There are the external shifters and internal shifters. All shifters connect with a daemon, which is a spirit, and it's an animal spirit. So if you are a tiger shifter, your daemon is a tiger. And you either transform into a tiger, or you keep your human body and you just get tiger qualities. So even though your nails look the same, they're super sharp, your teeth are sharp, you can climb up things, you can do all of the tiger things, even though you look human. And there's two different groups of shifters who are fighting. And so I decided to call them daemons way back in the day when I was first conceiving this. And so I was looking for some connections. So I asked ChatGPT just to summarize the Greek concept of daemons, because it is a Greek concept. I could have gone to Wikipedia, but I'm trying to see, you know, how to incorporate this if I want to. And it gave me a nice little short summary of the concept of daemons. And I was like, is there something in the original Greek that I could pull out and use since I've been calling them that? The actual shifters have nothing to do with anything Greek, but because it's part of the world building that I established, I thought it was worth a try. It didn't really give me anything great, but it did give me, like I said, a nice summary of the concept. And then we reviewed the things I knew about the hero. And I came up with this really cool idea that's based on a tiny thing from book one that I didn't plan to come back in book three. And it's coming back in book three. And I'm so excited about it. And this is why I knew I need to change the character's name. So I'm not going to spoil it. And so then, you know, just that decision, that discovery opened up a whole nother set of questions that I had to answer. And I recorded all those questions down. And that was day two. So day three, I decided to start doing the virtual index cards. I use a program called Whimsical for that. I sometimes like physical index cards, and I just, anytime I have an idea for what could possibly happen in the book, a possible scene, I write it on its own index card, but I still haven't cleaned my office yet. It's on top for today, and now it's going to be weeks. So things are really messy. I don't want to have a bunch of index cards sitting around. That's why I tried to do the digital version. And so yeah, I just have a little card on Whimsical, on this big board, and I write down all my thoughts. Anytime I have an idea for a new scene, I write it down. I had some other ideas about, this is kind of a Beauty and the Beast story, or it's partially a Beauty and the Beast story. What are the elements of a Beauty and the Beast story that I want to incorporate into this story? And then I had to go back to GMC, goals, motivation, conflict, and character arc to figure out the growth arcs of the characters or to just work on them a little bit more. So spreadsheet, going back and forth between the character and the plot, these 7 plot steps, trying to flesh them out. As I learn more about the characters and how they're going to grow, that gives me more information about what they're doing physically in order to achieve their goal that's also going to eventually create this growth in them. That's why those two have to go hand in hand for me, because I can't answer the plot questions until I know the character. And to a certain degree, the character is influenced by what I want and need to have happen in the plot, because I do have, you know, a specific beginning point that is the epilogue of Beastly Kingdom. Well, it's not actually the beginning, but that's has to be in there somewhere. This book is going to start a little earlier and end a little later. But, you know, book 3, I have fixed points in time that I have to adhere to. There's canon in this world, and I can't just blow everything up and start over again. So going back and forth between these worksheets, then I opened up One Stop for Writers, and I went into the character motivation thesaurus and the emotional wound thesaurus to get more information about my characters. Those are super resources that I love and use all the time. One Stop for Writers is paid, but it's worth every penny. I use it just about every day that I'm writing. I also went back into ChatGPT and just started trying to prompt it to see if it could give me some ideas or brainstorming about the character, the stuff that I was working on. So I would figure out the motivation and I'd be like, okay, ChatGPT, acting as a story development editor, given my character, and I give his name, who has a motivation of XYZ, why would he fall in love with a character, Selena, who has a motivation ABC? You know, try to do a really comprehensive big prompt to see what I got. And I got some decent answers, and it sparked some thought in me. It's still not quite right and honed, and I'm sure there's more work that could be done. But for me, using it this way is just the same as talking to my friends about it, you know, except I don't have to bother them all the time. I can use this AI friend, person, acquaintance. Then I went off to my another worksheet, which is called the Relationship Toolbox. That helps me flesh out the love story between the characters by figuring out some of their characteristics and their qualities. It also helps me flesh out their wound and their lie, which is part of the character arc. And then finally, why they're right for each other and what are the conflicts in terms of their romance arc that happen. Then I went back to ChatGPT and asked, using Michael Haig's inner journey, what are my main male characters' wound, belief, fear, false identity, and essence? And it gave me actually really good stuff that was like 80% usable. I use Michael Haig's inner journey, and I'll link to an article about it in the show notes, but I'm very bad at it. It's one of my weakest things. Like, I have a hard time figuring out the fear, the false identity, the essence based on the wound and their false belief. And so it usually takes me a long time to dig through various resources, a lot of One Stop for Writers, a lot of go through the Enneagrams, which I did too. But this was another way, like another resource to help me brainstorm some ideas about that. And it came very naturally off of the information that I had put in. And so, yeah, it was actually super helpful. That was day 3. Day 4 was more Enneagram work on my hero and heroine. There's another worksheet that I was doing for the characters and diving into their longing and their yearning. Still trying to figure out the romance, what makes them fall in love. How can I craft scenes that challenge them and also help them fall in love? So the character stuff, the romance arc, the plot, all going hand in hand. And then I had another new idea, just to brainstorm after doing all this work, about a shift for my hero's character. I had been going in one direction, and I was like, oh no, what if he's like this? And there's similar things, but he really veered off differently. A little bit more alpha, a little bit less tortured hero. You know, if you think of like the Beast and Beauty and the Beast, he's got both qualities. And I think I was leaning more into tortured, and I was like, oh, this is not sparking joy. So I'm making him a little bit more alpha. And I found that that really resonated. And so then on day 5, I went back deep into the heroines, to Selena's character arc, but I didn't get very far, but I had to move into the plot again. And love story, round robin, keep going back and forth, doing all of them, getting new ideas, Once I had the Enneagrams, I could ask ChatGPT about a character with Enneagram 3 with this motivation and this, you know, wound or false belief. How would she go about changing? Like, give me some suggestions for possible conflicts that she could overcome to grow as a character. And it gave me some suggestions that were not great, but they did spark ideas. And then I was thinking, oh, I really need to reread both books, but I don't want to do that right now. Books 1 and 2 in the series. And I was thinking I should create an extra bonus module in the imaginary world building course on specifically on when the world affects the plot, solving plot problems with world details, because I came up against a situation where something happens in this plot and the magic system, the spiritual system is the cause. And I need to know to dive deeper into that in order to figure out how this plot problem is solved. Because I haven't mentioned it in the first two books and I don't know it. And I need to really dive deep. So once I figure it out, maybe I'll be able to teach more about it. It happens all the time. It's a thing that I do. And I just need to figure out how to put it in words, process it, or figure out a process that is repeatable to go about figuring this out. And more arc stuff. And then I try to go back to the Save the Cat beat map, which is a separate worksheet. It's also in my spreadsheet. I like to look at it in different ways. Couldn't figure out Save the Cat, but I went back to the 7-point plot structure and I had success. I got all 7 points on day 5. Very rough skeleton outline, but I felt solid about that. And that's a milestone for me. Once I can fill out one of the plot structure worksheets, then I feel really good and like satisfied that it's structurally sound. And even though there's a ton more I need to know, I can get it. You know, I've crossed one bridge towards the final book. I know this is a lot. It sounds crazy, which is why I'm going to try to simplify it, organize it, create a workbook with all of this different stuff in it. Because I've cobbled mine together from years of research, from being high input and liking worksheets and incorporating them into my process and copying them into my 10, 11 tab spreadsheet, and then using the tabs when I need them. And how do I know when I need them? Which is a question I got this week from one of the people taking my course. To a certain degree, it's intuition. To a certain degree, it's showing up every day, doing some work, getting stuck, humbling myself and trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to know next? I need to know character stuff. How can I figure out character stuff? Do I need to go to a book on my shelf? Do I need to watch a video on YouTube, Google something randomly, go to an Enneagram or like a Myers-Briggs test to figure out personality? You know, I have all of these tools in the toolbox, and figuring out which one is often a matter of just trying to relax about what I don't know. And sometimes I just pick one. And sometimes because I've been doing this for a long time, I intuitively know, okay, I don't know the lie. Before I can move forward, I need to know this character's lie or this character's fatal flaw or whatever I'm using. Other times, other books, I can go through the whole first draft and not delineate the lie or the fatal flaw. And that's a revision activity. So it changes. It changes with every book. It's every version of myself that comes to the page because I'm different. I'm interested in different things at different times. You know, I will be wanting to dive into some aspect of the character or the plot at certain times, and other times I'm drawn to something else. So yeah, a lot of writing is just intuitive. It's putting in a lot of work so that you have the tools and the skills and the time on task to figure things out when you need to. And I will say that ChatGPT has been super helpful. It has sped up certain things that usually take a lot longer. And I don't feel like it has given me anything super surprising that I had no idea about. Like, it's not creating anything. It's helping me brainstorm. It's helping me get ideas that then spark other ideas. And as the creator, as the author, most of my job is putting things together, you know? It is taking things that I've seen in real life and experiences that I've had or things I've overheard or read or thought about and funneling them into characters and situations and settings and plots. And I do think that it's a good tool for that. I also think that it is very likely that AI will kill all of humanity. So I had a friend who sent me some, you know, scary stuff on AI, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, if you're not scared a little bit, then you're not paying attention. I think we should all be a little bit scared, but at least all of humanity will go together, hopefully, like if there's any justice in the world, it will, and we won't know any better. So that is my, I don't know if that's optimistic or pessimistic, but that's my approach to it right now. I think it can be useful. I think there are ethical ways to do it. I do think there are unethical ways to use it. And I'm experimenting and trying and seeing, and it's been helpful for me. And until it kills us all, I'm happy to try it out and use it to assist me in my process. Last week, I mentioned that I took this free webinar on called Prioritize Like a Pro. They released the replay, and I put a link to it in the show notes if you are interested in it. It does come with the Notion and the Google Sheets spreadsheet version of the prioritization matrix, which I found extremely helpful. So check that out. And that is it for me for this week. My goals for the coming week are to keep plotting, get to an actual synopsis at some point. I figure another 2 weeks, maybe, you know, 2 weeks minimum to get to that point where I'm ready to write. So I'm hoping to start writing this in June. June's going to be kind of a crazy month for me. I have a big trip that I'm planning. Two trips, actually, technically three. So doing some fast drafting during that month might be the best idea. I'll take my free write with me, my little traveler, and hopefully get some words in, but get the plot all shored up by then. And the Imaginarium Book Festival is coming up May 20th and 21st in Washington, D.C. If you would like to see me in person, I'm also going to be at InkersCon, which is more of a author-centered conference in Texas, and other events on my calendar, lpenelope.com/calendar. And you can get the Story Seed workbook and mini course from myimaginaryfriends.net, where you get the show notes and the footnotes newsletter. And I will talk to you next week because I'm doing this out of order. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, watch the video episodes on YouTube, email me at podcast@lpenelope.com, and I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.